everyone. You're listening to a message from Gabriel Douglas entitled The Great High Priest or Advocate. This week, he'll be focusing on Hebrews 4:15 and other passages as we continue in the series Name Above All Names. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message on our website, eastbrook.org/nameaboveallnames.
You know, this kind of stuff keeps us humble, and I believe that God has given me this message, so I'm still going to preach it, and we are going to worship the Lord together. So welcome to Eastbrook. If it's your first time here with us, I want to welcome you here. My name is Gabriel Douglas. I work here in middle school student ministry. I'm grateful to be here today to share with you in this series called Name Above All Names. And we have sought to talk about different names of Jesus, not all the names of Jesus, but we have prayed through different names that we can encourage you with so that we can understand that Jesus, yes, he is the name above all names. And we must come to him and continue to worship him. So I just want to kind of take us through a recap of where we have been. First, we started out with on Christmas Eve with Pastor Matt talking about Jesus being the light of the world. That Jesus was the light that burst through the darkness and is still that today. We looked at Jesus being a friend of sinners, how he went out of his way to minister to people in society who other people did not want to be friends with. We talked about Jesus being the gate, that he's the way that we can enter into salvation. We talked about Jesus being the promised land of God, how he is our fulfiller. We talked about Jesus being our Prince of Peace, Jesus being our Savior, how he's our source of peace, and how he also has done the work of saving us. We looked at the title of Jesus being the Son of Man, how Jesus is divinely human, and we looked at Jesus being the Son of God, how Jesus is also the Word of God from beginning to the end. And this week we are going to be looking at Jesus being our Advocate and Jesus being our High Priest. We are going to look at these terms separately, but what I want you to understand is that Jesus is our High Priest who is advocating for us. Jesus is our High Priest who is advocating for us. So we're going to look at those separately, but there's this beautiful connection that Jesus is doing, operating under both of these names so that we actually can come to his throne of grace with boldness and with confidence. So this is a big task for us today, so I just want to open this up in prayer, so if you could pray with me. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you for giving us a space to enter into your goodness. We thank you for giving us a space to enter into your love. God, I just thank you for each person here that you've led them here today to worship you, to learn more about you. God, I've prepared these words, but they don't have power unless you put your power in them. So God, right now I'm just saying that if there's something you want me to pause on to talk on more, reveal that to me. I pray that if there's something you want me to move forward from, God, just give me the patience to hear your voice. And God, I just pray that we would come to know you even more. We love you so much, Lord. Amen. So we're talking about advocate. We're talking about supporters in our life today. I remember when I was in middle school, I always wanted to be on the cross-country team. And in eighth grade, I tried out for the cross-country team, and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to like get in shape, and we're going to run out of these beautiful paths and stuff like that. And like some of that was true. But it was pretty horrible, honestly. Because there's a lot of sports where you like shoot a ball into a basket. You're going for some sort of goal. Running is you just run and then the race ends. And it's not like the race ends and then there's no more pain. It's like after the race when you go home, when you try to sit down, there's so much pain. Your legs are on fire. And you kind of like end up in the stance that's between a standing position and a sitting position. So it's like you can't even rest. You're just like looking really weird. And people are like, oh, are you okay? And then I'm like, yeah, I'm a runner. And then everybody's like, oh, makes sense, you know? And in this sport, I have a lot of many different advocates for me, many different supporters for me, including my family who came to all my races to encourage me in so many different ways. But one of the supporters, one of the advocates that I had in this sport in middle school and high school was a man who's been here a couple times. His name is Mark Erickson. And he was our cross-country coach. And we would start training in August, and we would wake up at like 6 or 7 in the morning, and for the first part of the summer, he would just be like, all right, you're just going to run for like 7 or 8 miles or until I tell you to stop. And it was horrible. And we would do all these different kinds of workouts. But when it came to the race, I was never the fastest runner. I never like won the medals or the prizes or anything like that. But Pastor Mark would wait at every, the last mile marker at every race. And as I would turn the corner, he would always encourage me to keep going, to push on, to press on. And I was so thankful for his support. And when I started preaching here in Eastbrook, he's always supported me. He's always encouraged me. I wonder if you have different supporters in your life. And I share those stories, I share those experiences, because Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our support. And we may have some great support here on earth, but Jesus is our eternal advocate who will not leave us alone. In the Greek word, this word parakletos, which means helper or advocate, this is what Jesus is to us. This idea of Jesus is mentioned several times in Scripture, but it's talked about in John chapter 14, verse 16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." In this verse, Jesus is saying he will send us a helper, but this verse becomes even more powerful if we are studying what's happening before. Jesus, in the section before, is really preparing his disciples for what's to come. He's going to be arrested, he's going to be flogged, he's going to be crucified, part of the sacrifice of Jesus that is so brutal, and his disciples are soon going to be gone without their master who has been around for so long. But Jesus says, "Do not be troubled. You believe both in me and my Father." Jesus, in verse 4 of the section, says, "You know the way to the place where I am going." Jesus does not say they know the place, but they know the way. And it's such an interesting phrase, and one of the disciples asks, "Well, how can we know the way?" And Jesus just reminds his disciples that they've been spending time with him. They're beginning to see his ministry. They're beginning to know who he is. And then he just says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So you know the way." And so for us this morning, we also know the way. We also know the truth. We also know the life. And his name is Jesus. And he's advocating for us. What an amazing moment. Jesus further talks to his disciples, and he reminds them of what he has taught them. He tells them of this advocate that is coming. Jesus has told them of his death, but he doesn't leave them alone. He leaves them with the encouragement that someone or something is coming that is a help to them. The first thing I want you to know about Jesus being an advocate is that he never leaves us alone. He never leaves us alone. Maybe that you need to hear that encouragement this morning, that the Lord of all has not left you alone. Verse 18 of the same chapter, he says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Jesus has sent help through the promised Holy Spirit. And Jesus in the book of John is using the Holy Spirit as an advocate. And at the same time, Jesus is interceding for us in the heavenly realms. Verse 26 says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So the first thing I want you to know about this advocate that is the Holy Spirit is that he will not leave us alone. But number two, the advocate that is the Holy Spirit is never going to communicate something that is contrary to what Jesus has already said. Did you hear me clearly? I said that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, this helper, is never going to communicate something to us. It's never going to reveal something to us that is contrary to what Jesus has already said in this word. If you feel like you've heard from the Lord, but it is contrary to what is in the Word of God, that is not the Lord. That is some other kind of spirit that you have to ask God to take away. Because the Holy Spirit is going to reveal things to us. The Holy Spirit is going to come through this word, and the words are going to jump off the page in our life. And we may not understand all of the background or the context of the word, but the Holy Spirit is going to slowly but surely reveal things to us in this word, and it is going to echo what Jesus has already said. Amen. Jesus is revealing himself to us day in and day night. And the disciples probably felt a lot of this chaos. But Jesus had a plan. And the amazing thing about having this helper or this advocate is the Spirit is going to remind us of what Jesus has already said. In chapter 15, verses 26 through 27 of John, it says, "When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." The third thing I want you to know about the advocate, that is the Holy Spirit through Jesus, is that there is a responsibility on the people being helped. In this passage, this is the disciples, but this is also us today. There's a responsibility for us to witness to what God is doing. In our jobs, in our homes, in our city, there is a responsibility for us to testify, to witness to who God is and what He's doing in our lives. And the way we can testify, the way we can witness to what God is doing is by clinging to His Word. Is by asking the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us in the Word so that we can go out and live that. And if we have to use words, by our life, by what we do, we should be leading people through our actions to the throne of grace. By how we represent ourselves in society, by how we are clinging to this Word and applying it, people should see that there's something different in us. People should see the light of Christ in our lives. And they should say, "Oh, what is up with that person? There's something different about them. I want to know what's going on. What's going on internally?" And then you have an opportunity to share about the love of God. You have the opportunity to share about the cross of Christ that you're able to cling to. And that the only way we can do that is if we cling to the Word of God. The only way we can do that is if we cling to the Holy Spirit, if we ask Him to reveal Himself. And the only way we really can do that is that if we believe, if our identity is found in Jesus. If we believe that our identity is found in the name above all names, it's Jesus. So there's a responsibility on us to go and witness about who and what God is doing. Chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you." I'm sure the disciples didn't think it was good for Jesus to go away. But Jesus had a plan. The final thing I want you to know about this advocate or helper is that the helper was always meant to come. Jesus, from the moment He began His ministry, knew that this day would come, that He would send the Holy Spirit to reveal what He has already spoken. Jesus not only sent us an advocate, Jesus is also now in the heavenly realms next to His Father, being an advocate for us. There's this amazing community in the Trinity happening. Along with Jesus being our advocate, we are also talking about Jesus being our high priest this weekend. The high priest in the Bible was the supreme religious leader of the Israelites, and it was passed down from Aaron. We hear about this in Exodus chapter 28. It says, "Have Aaron your brother brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as priests." The requirements for the priests were very intense. We learned about this in the book of Leviticus. It says, "Priests must not shave their heads or shave off the edges of their beards or cut their bodies. They must be holy to their God, and must not profane the name of their God, because they present the food offerings to the Lord. The food of their God, they are to be holy." This position was a high responsibility position and was not to be taken lightly. We learn this from Numbers chapter 18. So if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to open up with me to Numbers chapter 18. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. I think this is important for us to kind of start to understand the importance of the priest and the high priest in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 18, the first 7 verses. It says, "The Lord said to Aaron, 'You, your sons, and your family are to bear the responsibility for offenses connected with the sanctuary. And you and your sons alone are to bear the responsibility for offenses connected with the priesthood.' Verse 2, 'Bring your fellow Levites from your ancestral tribe to join you and assist you when you and your sons minister before the tent of the covenant law. They are to be responsible to you and are to perform all the duties of the tent, but they must not go near the furnishings of the sanctuary or the altar, otherwise both they and you will die.'" I'm in verse 4. "They are to join you and be responsible for the care of the tent of meeting, all the work at the tent, and no one else may come near where you are." verse 5. You are to be responsible for the care of the sanctuary and the altar so that my wrath will not fall on the Israelites again. I myself have selected your fellow Levites from among the Israelites as a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord to do the work at the tent of meeting. Verse 7. But only you and your sons may serve as priests in connection with everything at the altar inside the curtain. I am giving you the service of the priesthood as a gift. Anyone else who comes near the sanctuary is to be put to death. Very serious role that God is instructing the high priest to do. Because the role of the high priest was a high leadership position, the high priest was responsible for overseeing the roles of the other priests that would be in the temple. These priests that were in the temple would provide different blessings. They would provide temple music, both vocal and instrumental music. They would police the boundaries of the temple area. They would blow trumpets on various festive occasions. They would inspect and they would repair the grounds and buildings of the temple. They would collect tithes and they would perform purification rites. So as these priests were in the temple doing these things, the high priest was kind of overseeing what would happen. And the high priest would wear these decorative stones that would resemble truth and falsity. So a lot of Hebrews would come to the high priest to start to know the will of God. Along with being holy and upright, the high priest also had to offer an offering for the whole congregation to God, but also for himself. The most important duty of the high priest was on the Day of Atonement to go into the Holy of Holies and present an offering to God on the mercy seat and ask for forgiveness on behalf of the people. Very important duty of the high priest. In the Bible, there are many different high priests mentioned and different priests mentioned, but I kind of want to share a story, a character in the Bible that we often associate with this priesthood that is kind of a peculiar story. But if we're actually believing that Jesus is our high priest, we need to understand what's happening in Scripture. And this is the story of the priest Melchizedek. And maybe many of you have studied this along with studying priests in the Bible. We first see Melchizedek happen, the story of him happened in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 14, if you want to flip with me there. This is the first time we see Melchizedek's name mentioned along with the story of Abram. Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through 20. Genesis 14, verses 17 through 20. It says this, after Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer, and the kings allied with him, the king of Salem came out to meet him in the valley of Shavah, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who deliver your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And so we see in a total normal fashion of a priest at this time, this priest, Melchizedek, gives Abram a blessing. And then it says, Abram gave him a tenth of everything, which would be normal to tithe this way. But what's peculiar is that after the fall in Genesis, a lot of the characters in the Bible have some sort of history. They have a time where they're born and when they die. Melchizedek doesn't have really any of that information. Then we go through the Old Testament and we see and hear Melchizedek mentioned again in the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 110, verse 4. It says this, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And then we don't see his name mentioned again until the very end of the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. If you want to look with me there, we see Melchizedek's name mentioned once again in this book. And it's a powerful story of kind of who Melchizedek is and what he's doing. Hebrews chapter 7. The first three verses, Hebrews chapter 7, it says, this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So we hear this story mentioned again. And if you're fully confused, I kind of want to help you bring you up to speed. Melchizedek was a priest in the book of Genesis, but at the same time, he was also a king. And in his name, literally translates to king of righteousness. And Melchizedek was a king of a place called Sodom, which means peace. So what's happening just in his name is that Melchizedek is a king of righteousness, and his kingdom is a kingdom of peace. I don't know if you know of another king that has similar attributes, but Melchizedek in the Old Testament has these things translated with his name. And it is strange, this genealogy factor, and it says that he's a priest forever. And he's only mentioned in the Bible a couple times, but I think the psalm we just read has some worthy insights. What's happening in Psalm 110 is that God is declaring something, that there is going to be someone or something that is going to come in, that is going to fulfill all these things sacrificially. There is going to be someone that is going to be the ultimate high priest that will come in the order of Melchizedek. What that means is that Melchizedek is this priest who is also a king, who is paving the way for someone else who can fulfill it all to come in. If you're missing my preaching point here, is that Melchizedek is setting the way for King Jesus, for High Priest Jesus to come in, so that now we can actually thank him for being our high priest. So now we can actually thank him for interceding for us. Let me just explain it a little further, if I may. Melchizedek is doing all these priestly duties, but Melchizedek could not be the ultimate sacrifice. Melchizedek could not be the lamb that was slain, who takes on the sins of the world. Melchizedek could not be the Son of God. Melchizedek could not be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's only one person who can do that. There's only one man who can do that. His name is Jesus, and we believe in him today. Amen. And so as you learn about Jesus, as you journey through your life, as you learn to love Jesus more, if you're discouraged, if you feel like he's not a fan of you, he created you. And he created you in an amazing and awesome way. So he is very much a fan of you. Jesus actually delights in you. Jesus delights in what you're doing. And so today, if I can just spend some time encouraging you this morning, maybe you're just in a season where there's a lot of darkness, where you feel there's a lot of guilt and shame and pain in your life. There is a person who was on the cross who took your shame. There's a person who was on the cross that took your guilt. There's a person on the cross that took your pain. See, now that I'm without a microphone, I just really want to preach for just a minute this morning if I can. There's a man that was on the cross that is interceding for you here and now, that is at the right hand of God the Father, that is interceding for you. When we lift up prayers to heaven, he takes that prayer and he presents it to his Father. And he says, Father, I have covered this person with my blood. Answer their prayer. And now, we have a lot of prayers that we feel like are unanswered. But don't confuse your preferential timing for your own prayers with the almighty sense of time. Because I think there's been so many times in my own life that I prayed something like, oh God, what? You didn't answer. Well, maybe he answered, but maybe it was just in a way I didn't like. So we can't put our own agenda over the almighty God. Because what happens when we pray, what happens when we consistently pray, and when we start to believe in who God is, and when we start to be patient with him, when we actually start to have faith and believe that he is the one who answers, all of a sudden, he starts to answer these prayers in this mysterious timing, it feels like. But he knew the timing of it before we were even born.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's in the heavenly realms. He's interceding for us. He's a fan of us. He is with us. So if I can encourage you this morning, he's near. He's here among us. And I think that we just have to be willing to dive into the mystery that is our faith. We can't be blind in our faith, but we have to consider the blind people that have faith. We have to think of these mustard seeds that can rearrange, this faith of the mustard seed that can rearrange landscapes. We have to think of the people in the Bible who couldn't even physically get up to reach Jesus, but they believed that he was the miracle worker. And do you believe that today? Because he's working. So I want to talk about Jesus as a priest. Number one, Jesus in himself is perfect. Even though he was human, there was not and still is not a flaw in him. And even though priests had to be holy and set apart, they were human and they probably made mistakes. There are probably some days when these priests didn't want to get up to do their daily jobs. And that sounds like us, doesn't it? especially in these winter months when, you know, you're laying in your bed with all the comforters over and it's nice and warm, it's nice and comfy. It's hard to get up for work sometimes. Can we just be honest this morning? It's hard to get up and do those things. But thanks be to God that Jesus had the motivation to keep doing his life work, to keep doing his ministry, so now we can praise him. Number two, Jesus can offer himself as a sacrifice. No other priest could do that. No other priest could fully offer himself as a sacrifice. Jesus is the promised Lamb of God. And he is leading us into his presence. Many sacrifices were given to God, but Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Number four, Jesus' priesthood resume was that he was appointed as a perfect son. He was chosen as a perfect child of a perfect God. And lastly, Jesus' ministry is forever. I think oftentimes here working in student ministry, I want to have a lasting impact on the middle school students I hang out with. I want to have a lasting impact on these high school students I'm able to live life with. But I think that so many times I'm so focused on my impact that I forget that really what we're doing is helping leading them to the impact of Jesus, the impact of his life. And I think so many times we are concerned, we spend so much time worrying about our legacy, our own impact on society. But if I can just encourage myself really and challenge you this morning, is can we just surrender everything that we have? Can we just surrender all the legacy that we have? Can we surrender our finances? Can we surrender our vocations? Can we surrender everything that really God has given us? And the encouraging thing this morning is that Jesus' ministry is eternal. Jesus' ministry is eternal. And on that glorious day, when we see him face to face, when we spend time singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come," on that beautiful day when all of us will be together in the heavenly realm singing that day and night, oh, it's worth it. And so the question that we have today, we could do all these messages, we could sing all these songs, we could do all these things, but it has to come back down to you. You have to decide if Jesus is worth it to you. You have to put everything that you have in the arms of Jesus. And we can't answer that question for you. But I believe what can start to answer that question is when you start to see people in this amazing story cling to Jesus. When you start to hear people in our congregation that have clung to Jesus, that starts to encourage us. And I believe that Jesus is calling each and every one of us in faith to know him deeper. Jesus is calling us to something amazing. So what do we do with all this? I think we find this encouragement in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 14. It says this: "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Here it is: let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We find so many encouraging things in this passage. The first thing we find is that there is a great high priest in the heavenly realms that is interceding for us. And because of that, we can hold firm to the faith that we confess. See, there's going to be things in our world that are constantly discouraging us from getting away from the cross, from getting away from our faith. And sometimes it feels like we're so deep in the lies of this world, deep in the lies of our own sin, that we forget who the truth is, that we forget where the truth is. And the way we can lead ourselves back is just constantly, day, mid-afternoon, night, just saying, "God, continuously lead me to your cross. Continuously lead me into your grace." We have a great high priest in heaven who is interceding for us. Verse 15, it says, "We do not have a high priest that does not care about us or know us. Oh no, we have a high priest who has felt our sorrow and our hardship." We have a high priest that is very near to who we are. Every emotion we have felt, he's felt it, but he did not sin. And what an amazing support that is. What an amazing advocate that is, that Jesus has felt all the emotions that we have felt, but he did not sin, and he is sitting on the throne ready for us to come. And so bring your sorrow, bring your shame, bring whatever you're experiencing, just bring it to his throne. He doesn't ask us to be perfect. He doesn't ask us to be all polished up. He actually asks us to just come and drink from the well that is his spirit. And so today, if you hear his voice, come to him. There's so much encouragement in this. The last encouragement we hear is that we can actually approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy, so that we may find grace to help us in our time of need. What that means is that even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our sorrow, we're actually able to stand up tall and approach the throne of grace, which is his cross, with confidence. Guilt and shame ourselves when we're so bogged down by sin. But what if we actually believe that we can approach the throne of God with grace? What if we believe that we can approach the throne of God with boldness, with confidence, and we have nothing to offer? What a bold declaration. What a bold process. But we can have the boldness because we serve a bold God. We can have the boldness because we believe in the King of Kings. We believe in the Lord of Lords. We believe in the Son of God who is held most high, who has the world in his hands despite what the news says. We believe in a God who has the whole world in his hands despite what pain is going on in the world. We believe in a God who has the whole world in his hands. Why? Because he made the world in his hands. And he's holding it. And he's holding you. So today, come to his throne boldly. It doesn't matter if you don't even know what to say to him. Just come. Just lift up your hands and just say, God, help. Some of the most bold prayers are just those two words. God, help. And so with all of this, continuously, what can we do? Well, I think that we can just start to believe in the interceder who is God. And the truth is that God is very near to us. And I think the way we can start to know that nearness is by clinging to his word, clinging to each other. See, these two terms, advocate and high priest, are not separate. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our high priest who is constantly advocating for us. And so I kind of just want to talk about the last couple minutes we have today, Jesus being our interceder. And as I kind of work through this message, I think that as God keeps calling me to deliver messages, it seems that he walks me through the message months before I even give it to somebody. He walks me through this. And I was asked to do this message on Jesus being an advocate and a high priest months ago. And over the past couple months, Jesus has shown me through difficult things how he is my high priest and how he is my advocate. Because I think in my life, I was living in a lot of guilt, a lot of pain, a lot of shame, and I was blaming myself for a lot of circumstances that I could not control. And Jesus was constantly speaking to me and asking me, do you trust me with your life? Do you trust me that I'm going to lead you through these things? And I don't know if you've felt that before, but the powerful thing about Jesus is that he comes to us and he gets to our level and he speaks to us. He lives life with us. And so we must live life with others and we must communicate his love to others. And so as I wrap up, there's just this song called Intercession, and it's just a simple chorus. And I know we don't have sound, but I'm going to sing it anyway because I feel like God's going to do it. So I'm just going to do it. But this song is called Intercession. It just really outlines for us how God is an interceder. And I just want to read the words before I sing it. It just says this: he intercedes for me, protects me from things unseen. Right between God and me, he intercedes for me. He's standing up for me. Forward I shall yet be. Soon our whole world will see. He intercedes for me. So I just want to sing this chorus a couple of times, and I would just ask that you kind of let this just wash over your soul. And you can sing along with me if you would like to. But this is kind of just our prayer as we end our time together. So it goes a little something like this. He intercedes for me, protects me from things unseen, right between God and me. He intercedes for me, and He's standing up for me. Forward I shall yet be. Soon our whole world will see He intercedes for me. Can I just sing that again? It says, He intercedes for me, protects me from things unseen, right between God, right between God and me. He intercedes for me. He's standing up for me, and He's standing up for me. And forward I shall yet be. Soon our whole world will see, and He intercedes for me. I just want to sing that one more time. It says, He intercedes for me. Protects me from things unseen, right between God and me. He intercedes for me. He's standing up for me. He's standing up for me. Forward I shall yet be. Soon our whole world will see. He intercedes. Oh God, we thank You. We thank You that You intercede for us. God, I just pray that in this moment, that we would come to know You in a new way. Or maybe just a way that we need to be reminded of. God, I pray that if there's people in here that just are discouraged, I pray that You would just hear their prayer. And You give them joy. Pray that if there's people here that are in just a great season, I pray that You would just use them to encourage others. Oh God, I just pray that we would cling to Your cross. God, I'm just overwhelmed by how You use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so God, as we go throughout this week, restore us, refresh us, oh God, replenish us, lead us to have encounters with You, whether that's in the solitude of our devotion time, whether that's in the busyness of the city, or anywhere in between. Continue to intercede for us. Oh, and we love You so much, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Gabriel Douglas. Please join us for our weekend services on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information on Eastbrook, please visit our website at eastbrook.org.